Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford and Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. When you hear the
sound coming, welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Tuesday afternoon. We've got to talk some college football, and we do it at this time every single week with Brent Beard.
College football talk every Tuesday with Brent Beard, Heisman voter, and on Twitter X at Brent Beard. SEC, ACC, AAC. We talk it all with Brent. Here's Brent Beard with Bryant and Brett.
Brent Beard joins us now from First Coast News down in Jacksonville. Talk some college football. Brent, thanks so much for joining us. The NFL draft wrapped up over the weekend, and it was fun. A lot of fun storylines from the draft over the 3 days. But one of the big stories, Ty Simpson going 13 overall to the Rams. What did you make of the former Alabama quarterback going so high?
Sometimes timing is everything in the world, and when you don't have a lot of other quarterbacks who are in the mix, you get drafted probably higher than people thought you would be. But at the same time, I will say when he's healthy, he's a pretty good quarterback. He's accurate, which is always going to be important. He's pretty poised. And he makes things happen. So, I mean, he's not great. He's not ready to play in the NFL, but I think the day's coming where he might be. But, again, I think the thing I give him credit for is just sticking with Alabama or regardless of what the school would be and when he would have been real tempted to have gone somewhere else and made more money. Now, again, he got hurt in the South Carolina game. Not a lot was said about that. And was really not himself for several games afterwards. He's gained his weight back and his accuracy. So hopefully he will do okay in the coming years.
Isn't that something? The two quarterbacks for Kalen DeBoer, both are in the NFL. One with Seattle, yeah. Now one with the Rams.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you just never know what is going to happen.
And he hadn't won much with them.
No. Now, the reality, too, is even with that said, he's doing well recruiting and bringing in some of the better quarterbacks who everybody wants. So, but for Simpson and his brief time in Alabama, he probably did about as well with that as anybody has.
Mm-hmm. Brent, last Monday, week ago yesterday, we had Jimmy Sexton on to talk about the draft with us. He represents Ty Simpson. He never mentioned who he was talking about and didn't leave breadcrumbs, but was saying it just takes one team mm-hmm. and – the best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need one.
Yep. Well,
Brian, he was screaming mm-hmm. Simpson from the rooftops, and we couldn't hear it.
Yep. No, not at all.
Well, and timing is so incredible in all this stuff. I mean, if Simpson would have probably gotten left behind, if there were, half a dozen really good quarterbacks out there right now, now that may be next year. But that's one thing that was very fortunate, and Sexton, I'm sure, looked after him and did the best he could. So,
mentioned Jimmy's friendship with Les Snead, the GM of the Rams, and yeah. Now we know of clandestine meetings with Sean McVay, and Sean McVay fibbed in the immediacy after the pick the night of the draft. When asked, he said he had never met him. Hmm. Well, now we know that they did have. So, some meetings and talk football, and Ty Simpson said it was absolutely a tutorial.
Sure. Oh, I bet it was. Well, the thing with Simpson is Simpson's always had the bright mental outlook. I mean, he knows he's got to learn, and there's just a lot to get up to speed on, and I think the coming in with that will help him.
And he's destined to be head coach at Alabama someday, isn't he?
Uh, he has got the
we did this to Mike Shula, and we were right, did. But
yep, yep, that's right. But yeah, hopefully. And listen, it's funny you brought that up. We were talking about Tim Tebow down here and how close he was to going to Alabama, because I yep. was there covering that press conference, and the thing we find out is, and this is old news, but I'll say it real quick, is the fact that at 2 p.m. that afternoon, you had a situation where Tebow was looking at signing with Alabama. And then he let it go out as the day went on, and he signed at Florida, which is what he probably needed to do.
Right.
But that was interesting how that worked out.
He was that close, and I remember mm-hmm. fall of 2005, Alabama was really good that year. That was D'Amico Ryan's kind of running the defense as the linebacker, as the player. And on offense, Alabama had some explosive players. Brody Croll really played well. And I go down, I think, for the Tennessee game. And Brent, I've never been that big of a recruiting guy. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't know that much about it. But every fraternity and sorority house, Tebow signed with Bama. And I'm going, who in the heck is Tebow?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I learned who he was.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it was a different story than down here. He played his high school football at Nice, which is nearby, and his parents were legend. And unfortunately, his dad, who is a minister, died a few days ago.
I didn't know it.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
He was a rather young man, wasn't he?
He really was. I mean, he was in like his mid-70s, Brent. For you and I, they get younger every day, don't it, brother?
Young enough. I didn't know it. I know he has to be devastated, because the whole family really tight. You covered Tim Tebow in high school, didn't you?
Yep, I sure did. Oh yeah.
Am I correct that he homeschool didn't go to actual walk down the hallways and go to school, but play football there?
True. Yeah. He did. He did homeschool, but I've been here in this area of North Florida since 85, 86, and I would still say that of all the tremendous athletes, maybe the best story to come out of this area was still Tim Tebow.
Better than Derrick Henry.
Well, that was pretty close,
yeah.
Frankly. I mean, what Henry did is just right now, you almost would have to push. Some people disagree with this, but you'd almost put Henry ahead of him, because Henry's still playing and may still play another few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely is. What do you make of this 5-for-5? It feels like the NCAA really pushing it to get it implemented very soon. The update we got yesterday is that the kind of framework that they're pushing would not be retroactive, so the players that just wrapped up their season, they would not get an additional year, which feels like that opens up the pathway for a lot of lawsuits, lawyers kind of licking their chops at that. But what do you make of this idea of the 5-for-5 that we could see implemented in the next month or two?
I think primarily what this is about, or at least one of the major reasons, it is to keep guys who are 25, 26, 27 years old, et cetera, from playing college football. That's at least what we're getting about it from down here, that there will be something, it may be modified from what you just said, but that there is some real motivation to get that going on behalf of some people when they think about guys who are really young, just out of high school playing as guys who frankly are old enough to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
Last week you had the story, and it read unflatteringly, and it is that Arkansas was having to eliminate two sports because of budget constraints, and the two sports are men's tennis and women's tennis. I want everybody to please listen to everything I say about this and not cherry pick anything. I think everybody deserves their opportunity, male and female alike. And with Title IX, it's the law. You have to, you have to be in compliance, and I think they should. But when you see the official financial report from Razorback Athletics, a couple things really strike me, Brent. One, how impossible it's been for Jeff Long and Hunter Yurecek to fill the shoes of Frank Broyles. We knew it was going to be hard, but did we know it was going to be this hard? And I think more of the story after you get past the young women and the young men that are losing that opportunity in tennis is how poorly of a job, how poor of a job Hunter Yurecek is doing running Arkansas Athletics. I have in front of me operating revenues for football, $87 million. Operating expenses, $57 million. So they made $30 million. That was to come in 16th out of 16. You got to spend 87 to come in last.
That's amazing. That's just staggering when you think about that. And unfortunately, it's not just Arkansas. I mean, when we're seeing almost
They were by themselves in last, but you're right about everybody's having to spend like this.
Exactly. But unfortunately, that's what we're seeing more of that. Schools dropping sports when they normally would not. I wish that wouldn't happen. Unfortunately, it does. But boy, that speaks volumes for Arkansas. Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Arkansas men's basketball. Use round numbers. Operating revenues 25, operating expenses 21. Okay, it's tough for everyone. The sports in question, men's tennis, spent $1.2 million and brought in $3,200.
Mm.
Women's tennis spent $1 million and made $82.
Man, that's staggering.
You can get a T-ball team to make $82.
Yeah, sure you can. Good gracious alive.
I went to the website. There were 11 student athletes, 11 young women that made up the tennis team. Only one from the state of Arkansas, 7 international athletes.
Mm-hmm.
A fair case could be made. You're spending $1 million for a clicky little clubby sport. Well, nobody can do that.
No. Well, the question is, too, guys, is how many years has this been going on? I mean, that's
a great point.
That's what you saw in 1 year. If you went back and really looked at it, how staggering would that be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a
$82.
Wow.
Logan Young could bankroll the whole program for $100 bill, Brent.
Oh yeah. Listen, I wonder how many people are in the stands of tennis games that'd be glad to give them that kind of money as soon as the matches are over.
And a lot of places, financial picture are going to look a lot like this, and something's going to have to be cut.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's exceedingly unfortunate. But until something changes, that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're having to really bite the bullet.
Yeah, no, we definitely are. The other unflattering story, this Brendan Sorsby gambling story, as he is getting help, but now we're learning that he bets on a lot of things, including had some bets on Indiana when he was a redshirt freshman with the Hoosiers. What do you make of this story, and what do you think it ultimately means for Texas Tech?
Well, I kind of look at it not only with Texas Tech, but also how that's going to affect other schools.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I mean, my stars, guys. The thing that really bothers me about that is, and I learned this from Brent years ago when he told me this, or at least the way to look at it. When you're looking at stuff like that, I mean, how much of a tip of the iceberg is that?
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. We're going to have a big, big headline scandal.
We really are, aren't we? And I tell you what, now there are some things, correct me if I'm wrong here, but there are some things the NCAA will look the other way with, but they try to get tough with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're, again, do we know all the details of that? Not yet, but the reality is, I mean, if he's betting on other teams, and look, I think that is we really get, you know, hyped up about certain issues that are going on. I'm not sure we've had the right reaction to that yet. I really wonder, guys, how deep and how wide is that? Do we really want to know that?
Well, Brent,
frankly,
you look at it across a lot of sports. I'm not saying every college or even most colleges, but a lot of places in sports, we're hip deep with them.
Sure. Oh yeah.
I mean, they're business partners. We do advertising here. We're going to continue to do advertising here, and we always talk about the responsibility side of it. And there's always some cracks that people fall through.
Yeah. There's some. There's no question about that. But look, this is something people really want to ignore, and really don't want to deal with. But I know some of it. Look. I'll even admit, I'm sure some of it's innocent, just some guys having fun, but the reality is there is a side of this that's very dark and it's very dangerous, and I don't think the Pirates of B are going to play with this much longer.
Brian, how did they get such access to his information? Is it not?
I don't know.
Those places, can they just release it?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they can. But, you know, I really don't know. You know, it sounds like, obviously, if he was a freshman at Indiana, you know, you have to be 21 to you know, sports gamble. If he was using an actual book, he's probably using somebody else's name and social security number and different things like that. So I really don't know. We haven't gotten a ton of information of kind of how this was brought to light and how it started and all this stuff. You know, I'll be really curious to get all that information. But it's a weird story for sure with him. And the big thing, and I think what everyone's kind of waiting on is it sounds like this could also impact Cincinnati. He was there last year. There's been some reports that Cincinnati knew about this while he was there. So, you know, we're all talking about Texas Tech. This could impact a couple of different teams.
And the college football playoff with Texas Tech. They ran it last year, Brent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we have no idea how deep and wide, as we said, this really goes. But the reality of it is, and I get this, you can't play with this. I know people have gone to, if they've got gambling addictions, that they need help. There's no question about that. But the reality is, for the good of the sport, you've got to be able to deal with this and deal with it in a hurry.
No, you absolutely do. We're talking to Brent Beard. He joins us on Tuesdays to talk college football. We also talk a little college basketball with him. And Brent, right now, transfer portal going on in college basketball. And it doesn't feel like the fan base is very happy with Mark Pope with the job he's doing this offseason for Kentucky. How hot will his seat be by the time we get to the start of the regular season? I feel like a lot of that could be dictated on what happens here in about an hour when Tyron Stokes makes his commitment down between Kansas and Kentucky.
Yeah, that's going to be really important for UK. There's no question about that. But look, when you've got a guy with Kentucky ties the way Pope does, and look, I remember this well in talking to you guys when we were in what, February, something like that, about to hit March, and that there was a time in February where Kentucky was playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Pope was
one at Arkansas.
Absolutely. And they were, they were the talk of the town at that point. But it went south. And look, Brent and I remember the times when the SEC was basically Kentucky and maybe Tennessee, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. Now Kentucky's down to what, fifth, sixth, seventh, or something like that, those fans won't put up with that very long.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. Really, where do they rank right now?
Hadn't won
it since 2012.
It is not, it's not that they've forgotten how to play basketball. I think what's happened is it shows you the strength of the league that's really stepped up, and not one or two, as we mentioned, but numerous schools who have really caught fire. It's a different day in the league. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it absolutely is, and we'll see what it looks like for Kentucky going into the new year. But again, I think it's going to be big. Whatever happens with the number one recruit in the class of 2026, who will make his decision about 5:30 or so. But Brent, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Good. Always enjoy the conversation, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Brent. Thanks, Brent. Have a good rest of the week. Brent Beard with us from First Coast News down in Jacksonville on all things college football and college basketball. Continuing on that Razorback Athletics financial report. And again, if I see through public information other places, I will read theirs too. I don't want to be picking on anybody, mm-hmm. but they made the news, was it Thursday or Friday?
It was Friday when that came out.
Okay, of both teams out. Men's golf, spend 1.3, bring in $165. Mm. Well, they double up, women's tennis with $165. Gymnastics, spend 2.2, bring in $355,000. Mm-hmm. Volleyball, spend 2.2, bring in $150,000. Mm. Soccer, spend $3 million, bring in $172,000. Baseball. I'm surprised by this. Spend almost $10 million, bring in about $7 million. Mm-hmm. Arkansas loses money at baseball.
Wow. Yeah.
I would have bet against that.
Yeah, no, definitely. When we've talked about it before, you know, how big baseball is in the SEC and, you know, these teams, but you know, not every school can be in the plus when it comes to baseball. It's hard to do.
Women's basketball, spend $6.7 million, bring in $300,000.
Mm, wow. Wow.
Sign up for $6.3 million in losses.
Yeah, that's just can't happen.
I don't know how this can continue.
No, it can't.
Everywhere.
No, yeah, and it's, you know, it's a good point. It made big news because, you know, being a big university, being an SEC school to drop a sport, you know, they're not the only ones. I know, you know, St. Louis ended up dropping their tennis programs shortly after that news came out about Arkansas, Illinois State as well, a lot of other small colleges doing the same. You know, it's really unfortunate. You know, I hate seeing this news, but, you know, when you lay that out, it comes down to, you know, the finances, and, you know, things have to be cut, and I think we're going to see more of this in the future around college athletics.
I don't know every single line item of every single sport, but I know at Ole Miss last year, about $90 million, about $61 million spent, about $90 million made, so plus 30, mm-hmm. about what Arkansas made.
Yeah.
That's a long way from 16th.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it really is. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, we're still very, very young in the age of paying players, and certainly with rev share, you know, we're only a year into that. And so already seeing some, you know, universities cutting sports. And, you know, I think it's unfortunately gonna be more and more rampant over the next couple of years as universities kind of look and say, hey, we're putting money into this and it's not making us any money. We just have to cut ties with it. So,
and that's in the SEC.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, you know, why it was such a big story over the weekend. You know, being an SEC school that had to make that decision, it's wild to see.
Which I wish I'd brought this up when we still had Brent on the line. Brian, I know you'll remember it. During COVID, that the league distributed to then 14 members mm-hmm. some money, and it was basically from the league. Don't lay anybody off mm-hmm. and quit acting broke.
Yeah,
remember that?
I do, yeah.
And, you know, boy, everything since then has really changed. You know they'd like to have all that back.
No, no, they definitely would. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I mean, it's a lot of teams. They try to act broke out there. And, yeah, no, I think the SEC as a whole would love to have that money back.
And you know the SEC is sitting on a pile. Mm-hmm. They have a lot in the bank. But I don't think it's incumbent on the rest of the SEC membership to have the league – bankroll keeping sports up for somebody.
No, I think you're absolutely right. So it's a new world we live in with college athletics, and so I think this isn't going to be, you know, the rarity. I think we're going to, you know, unfortunately see more of this around college athletics.
Brent Beard was on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Sissy's Log Cabin, the official jeweler of the hometown teams, like the Tigers and the Grizzlies, and at FedEx Forum with the floor seat lounge, that great location at 4542 Poplar at Poplar and Perkins in Laurelwood. The Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, everything for that special moment in your life, and Mother's Day coming up really soon. 9,000 square foot store in Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more since 1970 with all the great locations across the Mid-South. Sisties, they offer a selection of diamonds, estate jewelry, and fine gifts. Official jeweler for the Memphis Grizzlies and at FedEx Forum with the Floor Seat Lounge. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, we talked the NFL draft a little bit with Brent Beard. When we return from this break, we're going to talk more about the draft as it wrapped up over the weekend. We'll take a look at our top five players that were drafted over the weekend who will help a team in the playoffs next season. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, the NFL draft wrapped up on Saturday with the final three rounds. Started on Thursday, three-day event. It was a lot of fun, but now we got to take a look at that draft and kind of start thinking about who can really make impacts on those playoff teams. So we're going to rank our top five players drafted who will help a team in the playoffs next season, this coming up year. So this should be a lot of fun. This was a little difficult. You know, you look at those
sure
top
was.
Picks, and a lot of those guys going to teams that that won't be around in the playoffs. So you had to kind of put your thinking cap on for this one.
And different from what we're going to do with Bo, a tradition unlike any other, every year the week after the draft, we pick somebody from that draft, one player. It can be from any round, but one player that we have going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I like it. I'm ready.
I've been real good on some and some not
well,
so good.
Well, that's how it goes. You know, you swing and a miss on some, and you knock it out of the park on others. So that's how it goes.
Trent Richardson is not making it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is
he? No, he is not. But I'm sure you got some big hits in there.
But this list, this is for helping next January.
Mm-hmm.
So that they'll have to have good years leading up to it. Who wants to start?
Sure, I can start.
Good for you.
Okay. Didn't seem like anybody else wants to.
Nope.
I echo everything Brian said. This was really kind of difficult to put together because not only are you just thinking about, you know, big name players, but teams that are actually going to make it to the playoffs next year. So my number one, I know we're supposed to rank them top five. I feel like any of these guys can kind of go any which order. Mm-hmm. Not really any kind of any chronological thing here. But,
very true.
But I
went in draft order.
That's not a bad idea. Well, my first guy that I'm going to go with is Jake Slaughter going to the L.A. Chargers.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, Landon, that is so good. I didn't have him. Best center I saw out there last year in college football from Florida. That is so good.
Yes. Big reason why I went with that is you looked at how the Chargers fell apart in their playoffs last year's offensive line trouble. So you include Jake Slaughter in that, put him next to Joe Alt. I mean, they're starting to piece by piece form an offensive line. So I think
he's going to be a huge player. And I asked earlier, did y'all get this signed? You just nailed it right out of the gate.
Well, we still got four guys to go through. Like, let's see if that keeps up. My next guy that I'm going to go with was he was a later round pick, but I think he's going to be a good addition for the Bills team and then picking up Skylar Bell, the wide receiver out of UConn. This guy was a consensus All-American, really good with run after catch, and I think he's just another great weapon that Josh Allen is going to use on that offensive team. It's no doubt I think the Bills are going to go back to the playoffs and make a run, so I think having another great weapon like that is going to be a huge benefit for him in that offense. Sticking with the offensive side of the ball, sorry to Bryant, but I'm going to go with Mekhi Lemon, wide receiver for the Eagles. I think having him, he had a great year last year in college football, and I think that
what
translates
if they don't
over.
Make the playoffs?
That's a huge thing. They very well could not, but I'm thinking of teams that that could make it. I think the Eagles are usually in that conversation to do so. I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off for them. They included a lot of pieces, and I think Mekhi Lemon could be a guy who really does that. Going on further, I was a little little bit hesitant about adding this one, but Jadarian Price for the Seahawks. I think he's a good hard runner, one of the running backs coming out of Notre Dame, but him going to the Seahawks I think is going to be a great role filler for them. I think he is a hard runner and a good fast runner. So with that high-powered offense, if they can continue to do what they did last year, I think Jadarian Price is not going to miss a beat. I think he's going to do really, really well. And then my number five, you're welcome to, Brian. I think Caleb Downs is going to be a huge thing for the Cowboys. And if you're right about your prediction on starting that parade right now, right, because they're going to the playoffs next
what
year.
What I miss.
I think
nothing.
Caleb,
that's just, I've been saying it since the season.
Yeah, he said it last year. Last year was not the year, but this year is the year of the Cowboys. Okay. So in hopes for them making the playoffs, I think if you got a great defensive player like Caleb Downs, I think right off the bat he's going to be a huge addition to that defense.
He's got to be that all-pro 10-year guy for the Cowboys, doesn't he?
I think so. At that high of a pick, I think so.
I like that. I'll go next.
Great job.
Yeah, that was really good. I'll go next. I kind of 5 through 2, it's just kind of any order. Doesn't really matter. My number one, though, I do think will make the biggest impact with the team that was drafted, that he was drafted by. But I'll start at number 5. I've got Reuben Bain, the Miami edge with the Bucks. I think he'll be a nice addition to that Tampa Bay defense. I think he'll make a pretty immediate impact and will be a nice addition for them come playoff time. Number 4, I do have Caleb Downs with the Cowboys. If the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs this year, it will be due to improvements on the defensive side of the ball. Nobody's questioned the offense. It's been the defense, and so adding a safety. I liked what Darian said yesterday and on Friday about that pick of him kind of being the quarterback of the defense with his football IQ. So I think he'll make a big impact defensively. Number 3, I also have Jake Slaughter from the Chargers. I think just a really nice impact piece on the offensive line. I mean, going into the season last year,
I don't have him, but y'all nailed it. He deserves to be there.
I think he's a nice pick. You know, going into the year last year, a lot of people had high hopes for that offensive line, and then they ended up being one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. A big part of that was injuries, but you know, bringing in a good piece like that, I've got Slaughter at 3. Number 2, I've got Zion Young from Missouri, the edge rusher to Baltimore. Last year, Baltimore did not make the playoffs, and again, big reason was because of the defense. To add an edge rusher like that to the defense should help them. Again, if they make the playoffs, I think he could be a factor in that. And then number 1, I have Jadarian Price, the running back from Notre Dame, the last pick in the first round. Seattle winning the Super Bowl last year and then losing their running back all throughout the season last year. It was kind of that two-headed monster in the backfield at the running back position. Well, they lose one of those, and they saw, not many people thought Jadarian Price would be a first-round pick, but Seattle went in there and said, we need to add a running back to that room. We don't have a second-round pick, so we're just going to go ahead and take the guy that we like at this spot. So I think they feel like Jadarian Price will be a nice kind of 1-2 piece in that, at that running back position with Charbonnet. And, you know, you don't need much. Again, like, I love Kenneth Walker. Great player. Didn't do much in the Super Bowl. Like, he just did enough to put them over top and win Super Bowl MVP.
Either he's the MVP or the kicker.
Exactly. And so I do think because of the way that they use that backfield with multiple guys, I think Jadarian Price will be able to fill that role. Not as well as Kenneth Walker was, but I do think he'll be able to go in there and make an impact. So I have him as my number one biggest impact next year.
Boy, a lot of Cowboys love it.
Well, I'm only one. I got Caleb Downs in there. I mean, that's true. Yeah, I can't speak for Landon.
So I'm the only one that doesn't have Caleb Downs, because I don't think they're going to the playoffs with or without him. Number one for me, I went in draft order, taking 22nd. Landon, you went offense with the Chargers. I go defense. I take Akeem Mesidor from the U to help their defense. That's good complimentary picking, and nobody should be surprised. We know Harbaugh knows football. Mm-hmm. The 33rd pick, to Darian's 49ers, and it's not Homer, but I really do love him. Deshaun Stribling, and did a late night Friday night show in San Francisco about him. They love him too, and wanted to know exactly what they were getting. And I said, the biggest all business, no frills guy ever. First one to practice. And I think my favorite answer of the year, he put on a show out at Oklahoma, and he had transferred to Ole Miss from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, you know, having played in that Bedlam series, does this mean even more to you? He looked at me like I had landed from Mars. He goes, you think I care anything about any of that? I'm here to win right now. I'm here great. To win right now. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
It was the best answer of the
year.
That's great. To the 49ers, especially with the questions they have with all the players. Number three for me, 40th pick, saw him at Norman that day, R. Mason Thomas, defensive end to Kansas City. Number four for me, Landon went outside. I go tight end with Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt to Philly with the 54th pick. And my fifth, going 62nd overall, played at Ole Miss his freshman year and then to Ohio State, cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, Davison Igbinosin.
I like that. It's a good list. It's a good list. A good draft for a lot of teams.
Y'all win with Slaughter, though.
Well,
that's thinking caps.
I didn't think you would have him on there. I thought I was going to be alone with Jake Slaughter.
Oh, you think so little of me?
No, I do think so little of you. So that was on me, I guess. But no, that was a good pick there. And yeah, I mean, this was a hard assignment because I mean, you really got to go
really
deep.
Was.
You look at a lot of those first round picks. A lot of teams that aren't going to be around come postseason time. So you really had to kind of dig deep and try to figure out, all right, who are some of these maybe second round, third round additions that could really help some of these playoff teams?
For Ty Simpson, what's his next few years? When does he get on the field other than injury?
I think year three probably it would be a good kind of play out.
If they won it all next year, would Stafford step away?
I certainly could. I think the ideal for me, just looking at Ty Simpson and his development, if you can have him sitting there for two seasons where he really doesn't have to see the field unless something crazy happens or you're just in a great scenario, I think that would be the best scenario. But yeah, I mean, who knows what happens with their team or with that quarterback over this next year or two. I mean, a lot could happen. He's an older quarterback. And
here's something else
that could
definitely
happen. See retirement.
Rams win it all next year. Rams been really close.
Yeah.
If not for the weather game against Philly, they probably go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Last year, the tough loss.
Mm-hmm.
They win it all next year. Stafford steps away.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how restless Sean McVay reportedly has been through
mm-hmm.
the years
yeah.
of maybe wanting to do the TV thing mm-hmm. for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
What if that happened and Simpson's the starter next year with a new coach
yeah.
that didn't draft him and maybe didn't want him?
I wouldn't be surprised. Those two are kind of locked in together. It feels like they have a great relationship. You mentioned McVay. There's always the rumors out there of how much does he really love coaching and kind of want to be there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they leave at the same time. And you very well could see something like that happen. But, this felt like more of a kind of general manager down the road type of play with the pick. And so, I think that front office feels very confident that they can get Ty Simpson to a place where, he can be that starting quarterback in a couple of years and step in, whether it's McVay at head coach or somebody else at head coach.
This hour every day brought to you by the number one Ford dealership in the Mid-South. That's Landers Ford in Collierville, your trusted destination for a vehicle that fits any lifestyle with a seamless shopping experience from vehicle choice to financing and service. From the Ford Escape to the rugged F-150 to the adventurous Bronco, every vehicle built with those Ford tough standards. The Ford F-150, America's best-selling truck. They have all the SUVs like the Ford Expedition, the Ford Bronco, the Ford Explorer, the Ford Escape. They have EVs. They have the hybrids. And they have the transparency and professionalism and long-term support and long-term friendship at Landers Ford in Collierville. Oil changes, tires rotated, go online and schedule when it suits you the best. It'll be done quickly to meet your very busy schedule at Landers Ford. They're always active in our community in Collierville at 2082 West Poplar Avenue or online at LandersFordMemphis.com. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Well, we need to get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to sports time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The Big Boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The Big Number of the Day.
Well, my big number today is the number 20. It comes from the NBA and the Minnesota-Denver series and the game from last night. Nikola Jokic last night recorded his 20th career 20-point triple-double in a playoff game, joining LeBron James, who has done it 26 times, as the only two players with at least 20 20-piece triple-doubles in NBA playoff history. So a lot of 20s there, but Nikola Jokic with his 20th 20-point triple-double last night.
Just sitting out there making that set shot, isn't he?
He really is. I mean, he is just so good at everything.
And, what's his vertical? Inch and a half?
Very, very small, but he makes it look easy out there.
He does. Wouldn't want to play him at horse.
No. He feels like he would be.
And wouldn't want to ride horses against him
either. No. Yeah, anything with horse involved, I do not want to go up against Nikola Jokic.
My big number is 74, as in 74 years since the Rams, by any name, last took an SEC quarterback with a first-round pick. Now, I know they took Sam Bradford when they were in St. Louis, but he was at Oklahoma and they were in the Big 12 then. But it's been 74 years, 1952, number one overall, from Montgomery Bell Academy in Vanderbilt, Billy Wade,
right,
who went on and won an NFL championship in 63 with the Chicago Bears. But they took him number one overall. So Ty Simpson, it's been a long time since the pressure's been on an SEC guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been a long time, and that was certainly the surprise of the first round, to see Ty Simpson go as high as he did, number 13, to the Rams.
Jimmy tried to tell us,
didn't he? He did.
He tried to tell us.
Yeah, no, he did. It just it didn't make much sense, and the Rams did it, and we'll see, you know, how long it takes for him to see the field there.
Yeah, and you know, he's got to beat out another SEC guy that wasn't drafted in the first round, Stetson Bennett.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and so, you know, it'll be interesting there. A couple SEC guys in that quarterback room. You know, we know it's no time soon where they need him to play, and, you know, it seems
two
like
two dogs and a crimson tiger in that room.
It's crazy, but no, it seems like a good spot for him. You know, go in there, learn for a couple years. Absolutely.
He'll take the rookie stuff.
Yeah, I mean, zero pressure, and, you know, in a couple of years, we'll see where you're at. So I think it's a really good spot for him.
I do, too, and it was the surprise of the draft. It really shook up Thursday night.
No, it definitely did. You know, it was already kind of a wild first round with all the trades that were going on and, you know, some surprises early in that first round, but, you know, it felt like it all got topped with the Ty Simpson news, and, you know, back-to-back Alabama picks with Caden Proctor going at number 12 to the Dolphins, and I talked about it on Friday, but ESPN, they kind of held the shot on Ty Simpson after the Caden Proctor pick a little too long before they went to a break. And I was kind of sitting there going, that's kind of weird. And then they came back from a break, and that was the pick, and I was like, I don't think that was a coincidence there.
No.
They know what they're doing.
A heads up.
I think so. They know what they're doing over there at ESPN. So.
This right now, Shams Charania, the NBA has disclosed to its 30 GMs a singular new anti-tanking reform that expands the draft lottery to 16 teams, flattens odds, and have a relegation zone where the bottom three teams are penalized with fewer lottery balls for the number one pick.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I need to take a closer look at this and kind of read everything that will go into this. But, you know, they've had some ideas out there. They're certainly trying. I don't really agree with all of it. But, you know, we'll see how this kind of compares to some of the other absolutely ridiculous ideas out there.
It really is. Look, it's getting close to dinner time. Everybody's trying to decide where to go. Well, I got a couple of great locations for you. Yeah, they're all Jason's Deli, like the one over in Park Place on Ridgeway across from MUS by the University of Memphis at Poplar and Highland, down in Olive Branch, out in Cordova. Every one of those places bring you more to the table. It's a family thing at Jason's Deli. And coming up, we know a lot of end-of-year school events, senior parties, the off-to-college events. Everybody wants to get that just right, whether it's 5 or 5,000. Let Jason's Deli cater it for you. whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, all the meals they can take care of you. At lunchtime, try the Plain Jane Potato Bar. It's the most wrongly named thing they have on the menu. It's anything but plain. It's so big and it's so great, and you'll enjoy it at your event. And all the food at Jason's Deli, it's healthy. First franchise in the nation to be trans fat free. And it's all about choice. Whether it's for catering or in the restaurant, off the menu, you want a gluten-free menu, vegetarian sandwiches, healthy kids meals, you'll be delighted at Jason's Deli. Plenty of organic food to choose from and that great salad bar in every one of these locations with over 30 items for you to prepare it however you would like. Again, catering anytime, anywhere for that special event. And in all these locations, the complimentary free ice cream. The locations, again, across from MUS in Park Place, by the University of Memphis at Poplar and Highland, down in Olive Branch, out in Cordova, and you can always check them out online as well at jasonsdeli.com.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading through this. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm not a fan of it. This is part of the story from Sham Sharania. Teams that do not qualify for the playoffs or play in tournament but stay out of the relegation zone would receive 3 lottery balls each. Teams with the bottom 3 record, the relegation area, would have just 2 lottery balls, but have a floor of the 12th pick, while the rest of the 13 lottery teams could fall as far as the 16th pick.
Hey, we need to tell the sports world, quit with all the breaking news here at the top of the hour. We got to get to a break, and we got a short show. Breaking news, NCAA tournament set to expand to 76.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so just more terrible news. I mean, my Tuesday's ruined. I
don't want to make my soccer brethren mad at me, especially after the great time I had. I just blanch at any of the goofy relegation talk. Yeah. It feels like we are just determined to try that route in American sport.
Well, relegation is cool. I do like relegation and promotion, but I don't like it being called relegation because I do think it does start kind of making you think of that. And, I mean, the NFL is not sending any teams to – we're not bringing the ABA back, and right. the bottom 3 teams are sent to the ABA. So I don't love that it's called that. But I would like to see promotion and relegation come to American soccer, but I think we're close to that, but not for MLS. So you won't have to worry about that with your St. Louis City team that you have that I have adopted for you. That's your team.
Thank
now,
you,
Brett. So you go to a game, that becomes your team. So,
let me tell you, at the game, the Smash Burgers,
really
best concession food I've ever had.
You could have asked me. I got something from the concession stand, and I would have never guessed Smash Burger.
Yep.
You don't see Smash Burgers very often at sporting events.
Great.
Interesting. Wow. Well, I love that you had a good time. But we need to wrap up this second hour, get to a break. When we return, we're going to talk more NFL. Bo Marchant, he joins us, but it's going to be a little bit shorter with Bo. Again, we're out early today. Ole Miss baseball against Mississippi State starting at 6, but we'll get you out there for pregame at 5:30. So don't go anywhere. Bo Marchant, he joins us next.